From attacks on Jews in Paris and Denmark to controversy over Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's upcoming speech to the U.S. Congress, Israel is in the news. Rory Gilad is the Consul General of Israel to the Midwest.
We basically represent the interest of the State of Israel in the Midwest.
He's based in Chicago, but joined us in the studio, where we talked about the economic ties between Michigan and his country, including the auto industry.
We don't produce cars in Israel, but General Motors has a huge R&D center in Herzliya. Our high-tech industry produces elements that can help cars.
And political ties.
For instance, we took Governor Snyder to Israel in June 2013, which really gave a boost to the relationship with Michigan.
Gilad worked for more than a quarter century in Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He's worked in Kenya, Jordan, the UK, before coming to the Midwest.
I think people of the Midwest are very receptive, are very friendly, are willing to listen. You don't get much radicalization here. People are, whether Jews or Christians, even Muslims, mm-hmm. they are willing to listen, open for a dialogue. They have a lot of interest as for what is happening in Israel, economically, academically, politically, of course. For me, basically, that's the place I was looking for, because not always in my career I enjoyed an environment that was so open for a dialogue. And that's, I think, the thing that really attracts me in the Midwest. People are very open, very friendly. And even if they do not agree with you, they always listen.
I'm glad to get the chance to ask you about some of the things that really are on people's minds. Israel, certainly in the news.
Please.
With the biggest political issue being that of the Prime Minister's speech in front of the United States Congress, and that'll be on March 3rd, invited by Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner. And it's clear that that invitation took the Obama administration by surprise. The word furious is being used. How would you characterize the Prime Minister's actions?
I think that I can understand and appreciate the protocol blunder that was made. And maybe things could have been done differently. But at the end of the day, I believe it is more than just protocol. I think what brings Prime Minister Netanyahu to address the Congress, which after all is the reflection of the American people. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has some real and significant concerns that the agreement that might be signed between the P5 plus one and Iran is a bad agreement, is an agreement that can cast a shadow over the future of the Jewish state 6,000 miles east of here. And he feels that as much that as there is a price to pay for addressing the Congress vis-a-vis the White House, the price for not addressing the Congress on such a crucial and important issue that we really believe is a strategic threat for the state of Israel, this price for not addressing the Congress is going to be more expensive.
And the fact that elections are happening on March 17th in Israel and the speech is happening just before these elections, can you understand how people could see this as a political ploy? Are we missing something about the timing of this speech?
I think you're missing something. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is such a major issue in the Israeli elections. Indeed, those are extremely important elections. We say it about every elections in Israel, but this time it's really true. I think it is more a political, hot potato here between, unfortunately, it is considered to be kind of a part of the tension between Democrats and Republicans here. And we don't want to be part of this game.
Well, there are some who say that by getting involved in domestic politics, it could threaten what is really, as you said yourself, the very, very special relationship between Israel and the U.S. And we know that support for Israel was very strongly bipartisan in the United States Congress. We saw a recent CNN poll that finds 63% of Americans oppose Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking to Congress. Is it worth risking that special bipartisan relationship to do this?
And there is another new poll of Bloomberg that shows that the situation, that's not true, that most Americans, as much as they are unhappy with the way it was done, by the way, I don't want to get into the politics, but we were under the impression that Speaker Boehner will take upon himself to inform the White House. And from the best of my understanding, I didn't attend the conversation, but I understand that's how it was presented to us. So we didn't want to create this blunder with the White House. The White House is extremely important for us, as is the Congress and as is the American people. But we do feel, as they say in the legal words, that we want to have our day in court. And we believe that on this specific issue of the Iranian threat, America or the current administration is going the wrong way. And we believe, Prime Minister Netanyahu believes, that we should have the right podium to address the legislative branch in the United States. Again, we are extremely unhappy that it created, it became such a hot political potato. But again, in the long run, I believe that Israel, just as it was in the past, will be a bipartisan a portfolio, something that bridge both sides of the aisle. I spoke with many Republican congressmen that were unhappy, and I spoke with Democratic congressmen and women that were happy that Mr. Netanyahu is coming to town, if you want. So we understand the sensitivity, but for us, the major challenge is the Iranian one, and we believe that the bilateral relationship between us and the United States will manage to prevail and will manage to sustain for good.
I'd like to shift attention to some of the incredibly terrible headlines and attacks on Jews in France and Denmark. And the Prime Minister made some international headlines when he called for Jews in Europe to come home and live in Israel. And those who support those comments say, well, it's Netanyahu who's more than just the leader of the nation, but he's the leader and the protector of all Jews around the world. Do we take that and kind of imply that for American Jews, the United States really isn't their true first homeland? How do we respond to that?
Look, I don't want to get into this issue of double loyalty. Let me just say something that for me as an Israeli citizen, as a Jew, as an Israeli diplomat, is very basic. Israel is different, is a different state in the sense that it's not only a state for the 8 million people that lives in Israel, among them 6.4 million Jews and 1.6 million Arabs, but the state is much bigger than that. That's why we call it the Jewish state. We have some responsibility for Jewish people all over the world. And what we say is very simple. We say Israel is a safety net. If something goes wrong in France, if something goes wrong in Belgium, if something goes wrong in Denmark. Look, Cindy, only a year ago I attended a ceremony in Kansas City where the Jewish campus was attacked. 3 people were killed, assassinated. Non-Jews, by the way. Eric Holder was there, the general attorney. And things can go wrong also here in America. And in that case, Israel is a safety net. Israel is a place for all world Jewry. Does this mean that there will not be Jews in Denmark or in Belgium or in France or in Kansas? Of course there will be. There will always be. And for those who would like to stay, that's fine. I think Israel is also in a better position to establish a dialogue with foreign governments to make sure that they will make sure that the Jewish people who live there will be protected. So as a state, I think we have a better stand to establish a dialogue with different governments to make sure that the Jews who would like to stay will be protected, and we are doing so. At the same time, thousands of French Jews have moved to Israel in the last year, and I expect this number to be bigger. So we do not impose our agenda. Jewish people in the diaspora can do whatever they want, and we respect it. But for those who would like to make, as we call, aliyah, to immigrate to Israel, we welcome them with open arms.
As these horrific headlines and stories have been happening, what are you hearing from American Jews, the people that you meet? Is there a sense of alarm, or is there a sense of concern as we see what's happening in other parts of the world?
I think there is a growing sense of concern among Jewish people all over the world. Among the biggest Jewish community in the world, which is in Israel, among the second biggest Jewish community in the world, which is in the U.S., and among the third Jewish, biggest Jewish community in the world, which is in Europe. Jewish people all over the world are concerned. Again, for the time being, this plague did not cross the Atlantic Ocean, but that can happen. And I think nowadays, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think in Europe it is unpleasant to be a Jew in certain states, which I don't want to to name them here, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, me growing up in Israel as a Jew in Israel, I didn't face much of what Jewish people are facing nowadays in Europe, but I'd say we have a huge responsibility here to make sure the Jewish people will feel safe wherever they are in Europe.
Roei Gilad is the Consul General of Israel to the Midwest. It was good to meet you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Cindy, for hosting me.